Weiner and Morning Coffee Notes. Oh man, this is a song called Flying. It's by the Beatles. It's on the Magical Mystery Tour album, and it's the lead in. It was the lead in, and in, it was the intro and outro music that Jonathan Schwartz used to play on WNEWFM in New York when I was growing up. When I was just a teenager. Here, let's listen to the end of it. You can hear it's got that sort of spaced out Magical Mystery Tour sort of, what are they doing? What are these guys doing? What are these guys doing? You had to wonder, man, we're doing something that was good. Anyway, so that album had lots of great songs on it. Not all of them were so spacey. It had a song called Your Mother Would Know, and it's a beautiful song. I sent a copy of it to my mother, actually. My parents like the Beatles now. They didn't like the Beatles when I was a kid, and my dad told me, in fact, I remember this, we were watching the Beatles on Ed Sullivan, and he said, you know, their hair isn't real. And I said, really, Dad, how do you know? He said, well, no man would wear hair like that. And I said, Dad, I think you might want to check it out. I think their hair is real. And, yeah, I think it was real. But they didn't like the Beatles very much then. It was sort of like, I think it was kind of threatening. But now they like the Beatles. So funny how things go that way. Anyway, Your Mother Should Know, or Your Mother Would Know, is a beautiful song. Let's see if I can remember some of the lyrics. Well, of course, the refrain is, let's all get up and dance to a song that was a hit before your mother was born. Though she was born a long, long time ago, your mother would know. I don't know if it's your mother would know, or I think it's your mother would know, not your mother should know. Anyway, so guess what, boys and girls? First of all, my voice is back. Antibiotics, gotta love them, they really work. Finally had enough, went to see a doctor when I was in Boston. My friend Randy Green took me to their family physician in Lexington, Massachusetts. And, went in and, yep, it was the cough everybody had, it was the sniffles everybody had, it was the messy, you know, terrible hackish. He gave me the antibiotics and he said, go home and rest a little bit. Went back to the hotel. I was staying at the Charles Hotel. It was a very nice place. And took the antibiotics. He also gave me some nice cough medicine. And knocked me out for like 15 hours. And I woke up like I was a new man. And I did a lot of sleeping along with the rest of the schmoozing on the rest of the trip. And I continued to, you know, when I was, like, really sick, I wasn't sleeping very well because, especially at the end there, the cough was getting pretty bad. So, then I went back to Seattle and spent a couple of days more sort of recuperating, and I drew out a calendar yesterday morning that sort of laid out the days between now and January 3rd, which is when I have a one-week meeting in Miami with Adam Curry and Ron Bloom. We're going to get together and talk about the business that we want to start. So when I drew it out, when I drew out the calendar, I said, boy, Dave, you better get going. It's like, I'm not planning on driving to Miami between now and January 3rd. What I'm doing right now, first of all, I've left Seattle. And I've packed up all my belongings. They still fit inside of my SUV. And I've gassed up the SUV. I've downloaded all of my daily source codes and Dawn and Drew's and Gilmore Gangs and Evil Genius and Engadget and Rock and Roll Geek Show and, you know, the basics, the basic podcasting thing, you know, basically refreshed. You know, it's really kind of amazing. Like, the last time I was on the road was was late August, early September. And then, you know, you had, well, there were like three podcasters basically at that time. There was Adam, of course, and Dave Slusher, and myself. And, of course, I didn't have to listen to my own stuff. Because I kind of, well, I just really didn't even have to download it. I remember in Saskatchewan deciding, okay, it's time now to get completely caught up on Adam Curry and Dave Slusher. So I'm back there again. I've sort of let it slip a little bit with all the sickness and travel and stuff, sort of falling behind in my podcasting on both sides, both on the input and on the output. But the good news is that here I am inputting, and I'm full of ideas. You know, this, I gotta say, I love car trips. It really does something good for me. I mean, and it's not just enough, like, driving. You know, like, where am I right now? I'm on Interstate 5, and I'm just about to come up to Springfield, Oregon. I'm on my way to San Francisco for a couple of days, because I want to go see Dave Jacobs, my friend who had the kidney transplant, and who's sort of like the hero of the hour. Not that I don't, you know, there's another hero of the hour, a friend of mine back in Cambridge, whose name I don't want to mention yet because I sort of don't want to, I haven't asked him if it's okay. I don't want to talk about who he is, but other than that, I have a friend who's just had a quadruple bypass a couple of days ago, and we got another hero out there on the East Coast. You know, I'm going to be there to visit that guy, and you know, we're going to be talking about this shit for quite some time to come. It's funny how Dave Jacobs in San Francisco, how it's his recuperation. Well, we'll find out more about it, but I suspect that it's kind of like the recuperation that I went through, that, you know, you lose a lot of blood and you lose a lot of weight, and, you know, your body has to deal with the shock of having split open, but in fact split open, and it just takes a while to regain your robustness. We're both relatively young men. When I had my heart operation, it was like I was 47 years old. And they said, you know, your recuperation is both going to be simpler and more complex, because when you're 47, most people don't have bypasses. The average age for a bypass is like 68, so I was way under the average. So when you're like 47, you've got more nerves and you're more vital and there's more feeling. And so when you disrupt everything, you feel it more than you do when you're an older person, apparently. That's the bad news. The good news is that when you come back to a very, you know, you can come back to a very strong place. And I'm glad to say that I basically have done that. Today I moved out of my apartment. I did it all by myself and packed everything up and carried lots of stuff, quite a bit of distance, and worked up a really good sweat. You know, it's the boy can do it. You know, got the energy. Meanwhile, my buddy Dave, who has always prided himself on on being in good physical shape, partially because he's had to compensate for having like no kidneys for the last couple of years. He can walk down to the corner. The day before yesterday, he said he was able to walk to the corner. I said, Dave, that's incredible. And it was, considering. And then today, he said he walked down to the corner twice and then went out shopping for a recliner for a Lazy Boy. So, and then, of course, he's exhausted. You know, but the thing is that I said, if you draw a graph, you know, you would see that the slope is pretty steep right now in terms of, you know, what you can do one day versus what you can do the next day, and so on and so forth. Eventually, that has to sort of settle out a little bit, and, you know, you get back half your strength every, I forget what it was, It's like in the first month, I think they said you come back half, and then the next month you come back 25%. And it's like we call it mathematics. We call it that asymptotic. So it's like you're at a really steep. Gosh, I don't even remember what the rule was, but anyway, basically, you get better faster now at the beginning than you do like later, because there isn't that much, you know, law of diminishing returns or something like that. Anyway, so I'm back on the road again, and I'm getting all kinds of great ideas, and that's good. You know, I called Adam a little while ago. I have a cell phone that can call England, and that's cool. And I've already got my first month's bill, and you know what? It's not even all that incredibly expensive to do that. So expect to be doing a reasonable amount of that. And, we're gearing up to doing a software release, and this is going to be based on the open source release of Frontier. And it's a program that we're calling OPML. And as you might guess, its purpose is to edit OPML. And it's an outliner. It's got, you know, it's got a powerful scripting environment behind the scenes. But as far as the user is concerned, it boots up as an outliner. When you create a new file, it's an outline. It works like Moore worked. It's not quite as feature rich as Moore was. Is, but it will be if we gain traction with this, which I kind of really hope that we do. So we're thinking a lot about that, and then, you know, where does podcasting go? And I'm not rushing that, but I've had a lot of ideas. And it's funny how, like, when you're like sitting like an office and working, you don't get the same sort of, you know, point of view or perspective that you get when you're like driving. You know, when you're driving, you don't feel as limited, and so it seems obvious to me that the next step, you know, it's good. I don't have a pointer to this. I'm gonna have to go tonight, probably go look for this, but. I remember I wrote a series of pieces in 2000 when Napster was raging, and I wasn't the only one writing about this. I mean, there was an article, and I think it was New Yorker or something, well, I'll look that up too, called The Celestial Jukebox. And I remember Clay Shirky wrote a column or an op-ed piece in the New York Times, and that was the first time that I had ever heard of Clay Shirky, and I called him up and I said, thank God, finally somebody else understands that this isn't about peer-to-peer and it isn't about piracy, that, you know, it's about basically what music would be like if you listened to any song you wanted to at any time you wanted to, that you could sort of hop around the music, the base of music, like you were hopping around the World Wide Web. And we were experiencing that. I mean, that's what, you know, for a middle-aged guy like myself in 2000 on Napster, you know, I've got in my head and in my heart, I've got a base, an installed base of music, and the memories that are associated with that installed base of music. And, you know, it's one thing to sort of go, you know, let's all get up and dance to a song that was a hit. You know, that's nice. I thought of that, and then maybe that leads to a few other things. Today I was listening to some radio station in southern Washington State, and they were playing Christmas music. Of course, like, everybody's playing Christmas music. I mean, after all, it is December 19th, right? And they were playing Ella Fitzgerald singing Have Yourself Something Little Christmas, A Merry Little Christmas. I was going to say A Nasty Little Christmas. That's not what Ella was singing, though. Now, Ella Fitzgerald, if you've never heard her voice, find a way to go out and listen to, especially like that song. She had this, even when, I mean, she's gone now, but when she, even when she was like an old woman, her voice had this like youthful thing going on there. I mean, she sounded like she was like 15 years old. She just had this like, it was like clear as a bell, and you know, this amazing thing. Now, I can try talking about that, but it's a whole, would be a whole other thing for you to actually listen to it. And that was kind of like what Napster was. I mean, you would hear somebody talking about Ella Fitzgerald singing a Christmas song, and you would boot up Napster and you would type in Ella Fitzgerald Christmas and return. And, you know, I had a T1 line, so at the time, I had the broadband that you all have now that I no longer have. I don't actually live anywhere, but and so like within a minute or two, I would have the song, I'd be listening to it, I'd be like going, oh, okay, this reminds me, now here's the key point, this reminds me of, and then, you know, you go off and search for that. And, you know, there was a time in like early 2000 when you'd like just try to get one of those surfing things started and you'd go nowhere. I mean, none of the songs that I knew were there. But then, like, in May of 2000, I launched Napster and something really had changed. All of a sudden, everything was there. So, I was writing about this, and Clay Shirky was writing about it. There were, I don't know, maybe a handful of people doing this. And as a result, I got to know the people at Napster. And I wrote more, and I played more, and I was, like, learning, like, not just learning about music, not just learning about myself, but really learning about what music was going to become. And so, one of the pieces I wrote, and I got, of course, really excited, and I was far from the only person. I mean, I like to say that, and it was true, that people were talking about music in the supermarkets in those days. Had ever heard of that. Even in the heyday of the Beatles, I don't think people were talking about it in the supermarkets because it wasn't something that universal. It was a sort of secret that the kids had that, you know, they didn't want the adults to know too much about. That was, you know, the cool thing about it. And it goes back to my dad and the Beatles and their hairdos and whatnot. And but Napster was like something else. And so, things I wrote and felt and was like talking up with people was that there's going to be an artist that comes along, and that artist is going to know how to use this network that we're developing, you know, and there's going to be a Beatles of the internet, and at that point there'll be no turning back, you know, because the music industry, the RIAA at that point was already, you know, like trying to stop what Napster was doing, and you can sort of tell that it might not go very well, and but nonetheless, you know, I think had they not interfered, what's about to happen would have happened a lot sooner, but that's just the way it goes. In any case, one of the things I realize that I think that we're there now. I think we're almost there. You know, I'm now mostly, I still have one or two more daily source codes to catch up on. You know, I can sort of see how all the directory stuff is coming together. We're building a new network, and that's fine. But that's not the music. The music is something else. And I think that's what, you know, when we come together January, on January 3rd, Adam and Ron, this is, think about it, I think what we're going to realize is that we would just be crazy to do anything but try to put together the network needed that will be that venue, that will be the place where the next Beatles show up. We're not going to be the next Beatles. I'm not going to be the next Beatles. Adam is not going to be the next Beatles. Ron, unless maybe Ron will be, but I don't think so. I think the next Beatles could be the Lascivious Biddies. They could be it. Bo Jones might be it. American Heartbreak, I think that's what it's called. They Might Be It. Or somebody else. I don't know. But whoever it is, they're going to let us play their music. That's one thing for sure. And, you know, one of the things we're going to do to protect them, and this goes for the RIAA, we'd be happy to do this. Well, I can't speak for my friends, but I think I can. Is that we would be happy to play the music at a low res, you know? In other words, if we have to, just put a microphone up to a speaker and play Ella Fitzgerald singing Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And let's put a button on the player that, you know, where you press the button and you get, like, beautiful, you know, high-fidelity version of the song you're listening to right now, along with the money, because, you know, we're in the money. Let's be clear about that. I mean, we're not, but on the other hand, we don't want to, we want to explore this medium, and this medium demands the kind of serendipity, the kind of ease of use that comes from, I just want to hear, you know, something. It doesn't have to be, you know, CD quality. It could just be FM radio quality. And you got to know that when something enters my sort of lexicon, it becomes part of my life. When I put it on my iPod so that I can listen to it whenever I want to listen to it, on an airplane or when I'm driving or whatever, that's going to be the, you know, the 99-cent version that's high fidelity. So I think that it basically is economically workable, more than workable, potentially extremely profitable. And I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that this is how music is going to be distributed. This is how music is going to be experienced. And that we can certainly, like, do things to push that back, you know, make it happen a year or two later. But you can't stop it. This is the way it's going. So, my opinion, of course, for what it's worth, it's just kind of, like, inexorable. So, anyway, I'm now pulling off a rest area. Just came up and I thought, well, you know, I'm going to have lots more to talk about. I could go rambling some more tonight, or I could save some for tomorrow. And I think that's exactly what I'm going to do. So I pulled off the freeway off of Interstate 5. And let's see where we are. We're 23 minutes and 48 seconds, which is just right. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to hit pause and then I'm going to queue up Your Mother Would Know. Or Your Mother Should Know. We'll find out exactly which. And I'm going to play it through the speakers of my car stereo with the microphone in my hooked into my laptop. And it's going to be really scratchy and it's going to be, you know, sort of low quality. But it's the kind of song you can sing along with. And if you like it, go to iTunes or wherever, Microsoft's Music or Tower Records or wherever you like to go buy music and pick up a copy of the song or the album is Magical Mystery Tour. You won't be sorry. It's a great album. And tell them that you heard about it on a podcast. Anyway, so that's it for, let's see, what is today? Right, December 19th. And I'm Dave Weiner. This is Morning Coffee Notes. The URL is scripting.com, www.scripting.com. And the feed is www.scripting.com/RS.
she was born.